Today is Thursday, June 12th, and this is the World Socialist Website. The Democratic Party and Trump's Coup by Patrick Martin. Following Donald Trump's bloodthirsty speech to Special Forces soldiers at Fort Bragg on Tuesday, an open declaration of war on the American people, the U.S. government is accelerating its preparations for military violence on a massive scale. The Washington Post reported Wednesday evening that Trump, quote, is prepared to send National Guard troops into more U.S. cities if protests against immigration raids expand beyond Los Angeles, administration officials said Wednesday, potentially opening the door to the most extensive use of military force on American soil in modern history, end quote. The Post cited testimony from Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth before a House committee in which he stated, quote, I think we're entering another phase, especially under President Trump, with his focus on the homeland, where the National Guard and Reserves become a critical component of how we secure that homeland. In just 2 days, on Saturday, 7,000 troops, backed by hundreds of tanks, armored vehicles, and helicopters, will descend on Washington, D.C. for a military parade, ostensibly marking the 250th anniversary of the U.S. Army, but coinciding with Trump's 79th birthday. Trump has openly threatened the use of heavy force against anyone who dares to protest during the event, whether peaceful or not. There is a vast chasm between the reality of the situation and the response from the media and the Democratic Party. While some leading Democrats have acknowledged that Trump is waging a war on democratic rights in the Constitution, their actions remain utterly detached from the scope of the threat. As Trump speaks in the language of civil war and prepares the machinery of state repression, the Democrats respond with lawsuits and platitudes. California Governor Gavin Newsom, in a nationally televised speech Tuesday night, criticized Trump for, quote, arresting dishwashers, gardeners, day laborers, and seamstresses, unquote, and added that the deployments were, quote, brazen abuse of power by a sitting president, a president who wants to be bound by no law or constitution, end quote. Newsom concluded by pointing out that Trump's proclamation seizing control of the National Guard, quote, made that order apply to every state in this nation. This is about all of us. This is about you. California may be first, but it clearly won't end here, unquote. He added, quote, democracy is under assault right before our eyes. The moment we feared has arrived, unquote. But what does the Democratic governor of the largest U.S. state, with the fifth largest economy in the world, proposed to do about it? Newsom has filed a federal lawsuit challenging Trump's takeover of the California National Guard as illegal and unconstitutional, but he has not withdrawn the guard from Los Angeles, let alone called for mass opposition. Indeed, the Democrats are working to legitimize the very lies used by Trump as his Reichstag fire, that is, the pretext for dictatorship. Newsom has deployed 800 state police to Los Angeles to crack down on protests. Mayor of Los Angeles Karen Bass, also a Democrat, has imposed a multi-day curfew on parts of the city and flooded downtown with cops who have arrested hundreds of protesters over the past 3 days. The political line coming from Newsom and Bass is, let us handle the suppression of protests. We can do it ourselves. At a press briefing Wednesday, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries did not even mention the events in Los Angeles in their opening remarks. Only when directly asked about Trump's threats did they respond, with Jeffries declaring, quote, Gavin Newsom and Karen Bass have both pointed out, and we agree here in the Capitol, anybody who breaks the law, anybody who assaults police officers, anybody who destroys property should be held accountable to the full extent of the law, and state and local law enforcement officials are prepared to do that, unquote. It is the Trump administration, however, that is breaking the law in the most extreme and flagrant manner possible through a conspiracy to overturn the Constitution. the whole framework within which the military operation in LA has been concocted, with talk of an invasion and insurrection, is a brazen and filthy lie to which the Democrats give credence. The president who is screaming fire is himself the arsonist. Even while Democrats mouth criticism of Trump, it is from the standpoint of somehow trying to suppress popular opposition and chloroform the situation. No Democrat has warned that Trump's military parade in Washington, D.C., set for this Saturday, June 14th, his birthday, could well be the occasion for an outright military takeover in the U.S. Capitol. There is no call from the Democrats that Trump and his would-be fascist junta should be held accountable for invading the second-largest American city. As a New York Times columnist pointed out, Trump now has more soldiers under his command in L.A. than in Syria and Iraq combined, and none of them have suggested the most obvious and necessary measure to stop the assault on democracy, the removal of the conspirator from his position. 50 years ago, Republican President Richard Nixon was forced to resign from office over the Watergate scandal, which involved crimes against democracy that pale in significance compared to Trump's actions. Today, however, the political system is so rotten and corrupted that no leading Democrat has called for Trump and his coup plotters to be held legally responsible or impeached. The list of top Democrats who have said little or nothing in the past week includes ex-presidents Clinton, Obama, and Biden. The trade union apparatus is likewise doing nothing as the conspiracy unfolds. The social media pages of the AFL-CIO and its affiliated unions are nearly silent on the developing coup, aside from a few perfunctory posts about the arrest of SEIU California President David Huerta, which the apparatus did nothing to oppose. The only mention on the AFL-CIO's X, or formerly Twitter, page of the military mobilization is a post suggesting that Trump's birthday parade on Saturday is a waste of $45 million, money that it claims could be better spent elsewhere, as if this is the issue and not the conspiracy to overturn the Constitution. The X page of the United Auto Workers features a video of UAW President Sean Fain promoting economic nationalism and the union's support for the tariffs and trade war policies advanced by Trump. Amid the most extreme political crisis in modern American history, the UAW is busy celebrating General Motors' supposed benevolence and showcasing fabric art donated to Walter Reuther in the 1950s. As for United Food and Commercial Workers, or UFCW union, it remains silent while the Trump administration seizes and deports immigrant food workers. This includes nearly 100 workers from the Glen Valley Foods plant in Omaha, who were frog-marched at gunpoint from their workplace earlier this week. There is vast and growing popular opposition to the authoritarian rampage of the Trump administration, expressed in a wave of demonstrations across the United States. Thousands of protests are scheduled for Saturday in every major city and countless smaller towns. Yet the sentiment of millions finds no genuine expression within the political establishment or any of the official institutions of capitalist society. This political reality demonstrates that the fight against the coup must be developed on an independent basis. The working class must take matters into its own hands. Every plant, office, and neighborhood must become a center of organized opposition to this massive assault on democratic rights. This means the building of rank-and-file committees in every workplace and neighborhood to prepare a general strike to stop the coup and defend democratic rights. And it means the development of an independent political movement of the working class, in opposition to Trump and both parties of the capitalist ruling elite, on the basis of a socialist program. As the Socialist Equality Party and WSWS editorial board wrote on June 9th, Trump is not acting on his own, but as the representative of a financial oligarchy that is hurtling toward fascism and war. There will be no return to normal. The political situation can move in only one of two directions, dictatorship or revolution. NATO chief Rutte says Europe's social spending must be gutted to pay for war, by Robert Stevens. NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte spoke at Britain's leading foreign policy think tank, Chatham House, on Monday to advocate for a vast rearmament by the European imperialist powers to prepare for war with Russia. Rutte was in London to meet Prime Minister Keir Starmer following the Labour government's Strategic Defence Review, or SDR, published last week. He accompanied Defence Secretary John Healey on a visit to a pivotal weapons factory, Sheffield Forge Masters, which makes components for nuclear-powered submarines and has £200 million of contracts under the AUKUS, that is Australia-UK-US, military alliance program. Rutte used his Chatham House speech in a Q&A session to trial the massive increase in military spending set to be adopted at NATO's June 24th-25th summit at The Hague. Rutte, at the insistence of the Trump administration, is demanding that minimum military spending as a condition of NATO membership is hiked from 2% of GDP to 5%. This consists of 3.5% on pure military spending and 1.5% on defense and security-related investments, including infrastructure and building industrial capacity. The largest military buildup since 1945 was largely signed off by the NATO powers at a summit of the alliance's defense ministers last week, though the UK and Spain in particular held off on concrete commitments to meet deadlines. For most NATO countries, including Britain, this will require a doubling of current military spending within the next decade, necessitating a war on the living standards of the working class without precedent since the 1930s. The Starmer government currently spends 2.3% on the military, and, despite the commitments in the SDR, is still only formally committed to reaching 2.7% of GDP by 2027-2028, and 3% at an unspecified point during the next parliament, ending in 2034. Britain is one of the two nuclear-armed powers on the continent, alongside France, so Starmer's commitment to the increase is key to Rutte's plan. Asked in the Q&A about his discussions in Downing Street's White Room, Rutte only said that there was near consensus on the 5% proposal among the NATO powers. This was after saying in his speech, quote, "At the summit at The Hague, I expect Allied leaders will agree to spend 5% of GDP on defense. It will be a NATO-wide commitment and a defining moment for the alliance," end quote. He praised Starmer's SDR as, quote, "It will strengthen and modernize Britain's armed forces and enhance NATO's collective defense. Commitment has a cost, and I welcome that the UK government will spend significantly more on defense in the future." The upcoming summit would create, quote, "a better NATO, one that is stronger, fairer, and more lethal, so that we can continue to keep our people safe and our adversaries at bay. Because of Russia, war has returned to Europe," unquote. NATO also confronted, quote, "fierce global competition," unquote, as, quote, "Russia has teamed up with China, North Korea, and Iran. They are expanding their militaries and their capabilities." Rutte stated that, quote, "5% is not some figure plucked from the air. It is grounded in hard facts. The fact is, we need a quantum leap in our collective defense. The fact is, we must have more forces and capabilities to implement our defense plans in full," unquote. Russia had to be confronted and defeated as, quote, "Danger will not appear even when the war in Ukraine ends. Our decisions on defense spending are driven by NATO's battle plans and capability targets," unquote. Moving to a war footing in every country was existential as, quote, "Russia could be ready to use military force against NATO within 5 years." He repeated one of the big lies of this decade, denouncing, quote, "Russia's unprovoked war against Ukraine." He made no mention of the expansion of NATO to Russia's borders, leading to the invasion of Ukraine in 2022. Defeating Russia would require a rearmament whose, quote, "exact details are classified," unquote. Rutte continued, but it required, quote, "a 400% increase in air and missile defense, thousands more armored vehicles and tanks, and millions more artillery shells. NATO powers will also, quote, invest in more warships and aircraft," to give just one example America's allies will procure at least 700 F-35 fighter jets in total. These are made by U.S. defense manufacturer Lockheed Martin and cost between $82.5 million to $109 million each. Conflict with Russia required wholesale societal preparedness, said Rutte, praising Norway and recent NATO members Finland and Sweden for, quote, what they are doing in terms of having the whole of society to understand what their role will be it active or at least not getting in the way of the military people if war breaks out. One main conclusion followed from Rutte's Chatham House intervention. The ruling class must immediately step up the attacks on the working class to pay for military rearmament in war. In the Q&A, Telegraph editor Danielle Sheridan asked if, quote, we should see the chancellor raise taxes in this week's spending review order to cover the defense spending that you think is required, unquote. Rutte was blunt, replying that, quote, it's not up to me to decide, of course, how countries pay the bill, but if you do not do this, you would not go to the 5%, including the 3.5% core defense spending. You could still have the National Health Service, or in other countries, their health systems, the pension system, etc., but you had better learn to speak Russian, unquote. The budget for NHS England is £192 billion for 2024-25. Pensions account for around 55% of all Social Security spending and are projected to cost almost £175 billion for 2025-26. To pay for war, these are now considered luxuries, which Starmers and governments of every stripe are setting out to destroy. Bronwyn Maddox, director and chief executive of Chatham House, asked Rutte, quote, how would you explain to people who are running a government now, a democratic government, how to explain to their voters why so much money is suddenly needed on defense, unquote. Rutte replied that the idea that, quote, after the Berlin Wall came down, we would have a sort of pleasant, peaceful living together with the Russians is gone, unquote. Rutte continued, quote, Putin is on a total war footing, and NATO must do the same and more. NATO's collective economy is 25 times bigger than Russia. It's $50 trillion, and the Russian economy is $2 trillion. That $2 trillion economy is producing four times as much ammunition as the whole of NATO is producing at the moment, unquote. He added that, quote, you can ask any general, and he will tell you, yes, drones and AI, etc., but the core of every war will always start with stockpiles of ammunition. We need five times as many systems to defend ourselves against missiles and an air defense in general. That's a 400% increase. It's huge investments. Our maneuverable land formations, we simply do not have enough. The UK, Germany, all over Europe, we do not have enough. Our command and control centers are long-range weapons, unquote. The European NATO powers constructing a defense industrial base and raiding treasuries was the only way that rearmament could take place. Starmer's SDR was a step forward, but, quote, you still also need to make sure that you can produce the classic big-ticket items, unquote.
This has been Paul Fuller for the World Socialist Website.
The World Socialist Website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist Website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.